God is, you know, an awesome God, and He will respond to our need when we respond to His call. And that is the case. So we're going to be looking today at getting ready. Last week we talked about being in the world but not of the world. This week we want to talk about getting ready to be used. To be used. You know, the things we have to do. Holiness. And I know we've taught on some of these things before, but you know how we learn is by repetition. We have to keep on hearing the same thing. And sometimes when we hear it, something different is sparked in our soul. Amen. So our main theme was from Joshua, the book of Joshua. Joshua, I think it's 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. As I said last week, we don't know what the week entailed. We didn't know that there was going to be an accident. Do you remember me saying that? We don't know what tomorrow this week is going to entail for each of us. But we do know the one who holds the future. Amen. And if we entrust ourselves to Him, if we get a mission, we can't die until our mission is complete. And some of these I have taught about 3 or 4 years ago. And I want to talk about consecration as a journey. You know, when we first come to the Lord, we may be dealing with a lot of things. And maybe we don't drop them off all at the same time, but we are supposed to be growing. You know, a baby is fine wearing a diaper at 6 months, but if at 20 years that person is still wearing a diaper and crawling along the floor, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Amen. As a Christian, we should grow. The things that used to bother you years ago, hopefully you've been able to overcome. It's a journey, and as we get closer, we will become more consecrated. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, when God was speaking the first time to Moses, he said, to Abraham, he said, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify or consecrate yourselves, and ye shall be holy. We got to drop off or withdraw from some things, right? Some friends, some situations that will tend to just corrupt our mind. It may not even be sinful. It's just worldly. Just a worldly situation. Ye shall therefore sanctify, which means separate yourselves. Sanctification is the first step in consecration. And ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave them all these rules of separation as a symbol to show in the earthly what He wants in the spiritual. He told them there were certain animals they couldn't eat. There were certain things they couldn't do. They had to be separate from. And all of these were symbolic of what we in the spiritual world have to do. We can't go everywhere, right? We can't do everything. Because even though it may be lawful, as Paul said, it's not convenient. It doesn't enhance our spirit. It doesn't make our walk with God any closer. It's something to distract from our main goal. I posted a scripture the other day because, you know, a lot of our evangelicals are so into politics, too much into politics instead of the scripture. I said, the scripture says, if you want to be a good soldier, you can't entangle yourself, the scripture says, with the affairs of this life. You got to disentangle yourself. God told in Leviticus, He says, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore separate, sanctify, in other words, yourselves, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And we see that when God wants to use someone, the first thing He's going to do is separate them. The first step in consecration is separating you from some things. So before God could really use Abraham, in Genesis 12:1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house in unto a land that I will show thee. Now what's interesting about that verse? What's interesting about that verse? Yes, he had to leave, but what else is striking about that verse? He's got to leave, yes, but there was something else that's very interesting about that verse. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said. It means Abraham didn't respond right away. Sometimes God has to keep talking to us before we really get it. The Lord had said, meaning it wasn't the first time. It took Abraham a little while to actually do what God had said. You know, he's like us. We're hard-headed. The Lord had said, and it took him a while because it was a big thing to get up, leave your whole family, go somewhere you don't know where you're going. Can you imagine all the people scorning him and saying, hey, where are you going? You're going to leave all of this good stuff and all everybody you know? That took some faith. It said the Lord had said, telling us that it had happened previously. But it took Abraham a little while before he really followed God. He said, get thee out of thy country. Sometimes we've got to get out of our comfort zone, out of our circumstance, out of our situation. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Listen, even if your blood family is not following God, you sometimes have to separate yourself. I'm sorry, but that's what God wants. He's going to say, who do you love more, them or me? We have to have a love for God above all. We have to put him first. Get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now you see, now Abraham did it in steps. He said, well, I got to go. But he didn't do it alone. He brought his whole family with him. Look at this, Acts 7:2. This is when Stephen was recounting the story, and he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. Sometimes we half obey God, right? We take the first step, but we're still kind of dragging stuff with us. I want to do what God says, but I also want to do what I want. And we try and drag it with us. And you know what happened to Abraham? He got stuck. He only got as far as Haran, and then he stopped. That wasn't where God had told him to go. As I said, I put it in red up here. Now the Lord had said. And if we look back in our lives, we can see there's many times that it wasn't the first time God spoke to us about doing something before we did it, right? I mean, that scripture could be written about us. The Lord has said, sometime in the past, you know what I want you to do. Isn't that true? The Lord had said, and we still kind of dragging everything with us. And so you know what happened? He didn't really get to the promised land for 5 years. He got stuck in a place called Haran. Genesis 11:31, and Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his sons, Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur to the Chaldees to go. Where were they aiming for? It says to go to the land of Canaan. But guess what happened? Because he took every, tried to think, bring everything with him, he got stuck. And they came unto Haran, and what does it say? They dwelt there. So instead of going, they started out, that's my intention. This is what happens when you don't do what the Lord says. You won't actually get where you're going. It says that they started out to go to Canaan, but in the end, they ended up staying in Haran. And it would have stayed that way until Abraham's father died. And that event must have woken Abraham up and said, you know what, this isn't what the Lord told me to do. He never told me to come and stay in Haran. Yes, we've left Egypt, but you can't stay in the wilderness. You can't live in the desert. You need to go all the way to the promised land. Amen? Amen. It's getting quiet out there. Everybody tired? We're going to have to do some more praise and worship. Amen. You see, we all start out to go to Canaan, but we've all got stuck in Haran, and we need to look around and find out why. Why haven't we reached that consecration and that separation? It's because we've been bringing stuff with us. You got to let go of that baggage. You got to really let it go. You got to cut it loose. Amen. Because you won't get there. Amen. You won't get there if you try and bring everything with you. Amen. Amen. You got to leave it where it is. Hallelujah. So we see that it wasn't a straight road with Abraham. It was in a progression. First, He took the first step. He left Ur of the Chaldees, but he brought his whole family with him. Then finally, his father died, and then he moved a little bit further and started to go on. But this time, he still had Lot with him. So you can see that consecration and sanctification is a journey. We may not get there overnight, but you know what you need to do is keep moving. Keep moving. Do not sit down. Do not stay in Haran. That'd be a good message. Don't stay in Haran. You got to get up and keep moving. Because it's when you stop, that's when the devil has won. Hallelujah. We have to realize that God has not called us to Haran. He's not called us to sit down. He's called us to keep moving. Because this is a journey to go to Canaan. Genesis 13:14. And it wasn't until after he really had fulfilled everything that God had said, did God speak to him again. Look at this. In Genesis 13:14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after, let's say it together, after. We want God to speak to us. How many things do we need to separate from? You want God to deal with you? Maybe you got to separate from Lot. Maybe you have to separate. Now, the Bible speaks about Lot as being righteous. It's not that the person is negative or necessarily an evil person, but God wants to deal with you. God wants to deal with you. Right? He wants to deal with you. And we see that we're wanting God to speak to us, but we're wanting him to speak to us. When he really wants to speak to me. And the Lord said unto Abram, read this very carefully, after that Lot was separated from him, now I can pour down my blessing. Now I can give you what I always had planned. You know, sometimes if we had only known and obeyed God's will at the beginning, we wouldn't have to wait so long. Abraham ended up waiting 25 years for the son. Imagine if he'd been more obedient faster. He could have received the blessing earlier. A lot of time, it's our own fault why God is not able to deal with us in a faster fashion. It's because we haven't separated ourselves. Once Lot was separated, he said, now, I got something for you. Now, I want you to really look around you. I've called you to this land, but I really couldn't give you my word yet because you were still hanging around with Lot and all the other people. And I really chose you. I really want you. He said, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. What a blessing. God wanted to give him that many years ago, but he couldn't because he had too many people with him. You know, sometimes if you have people with you and you get blessed, they get jealous. Right? God has to do some things in secret because some people will get upset. But some of us, we just want to let everybody know. And sometimes God says, this is just for you. You need to keep it by yourself. It's just for you, okay? See, he wanted the blessing for Lot too, but God said, listen, I haven't chosen Lot as the promised seed. I've chosen you. And when you obey me fully, when you have separated yourself, verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So consecration is a journey. We may not get there overnight, but here's the key. Do not stop in Haran. Do not try pulling all the stuff with you because it won't work. And I'm really speaking to myself. Sometimes I'm so hard-headed. It takes God a while before I really realize that he's speaking to me and I have to say, okay, God, I get it. Okay. Okay, you can let up on the switch now. Amen. Sometimes God has to put us in such dire circumstance before we will come and really start to follow him and realize that he wants to talk to us. Amen. See, consecration is a process. And it involves several parts of us. Because remember now, we're body, soul, and spirit. And God wants all of us consecrated. Some of us only want to consecrate our soul and our spirit. And we let the body, that can do its own thing. But that's not what God says. 1 John 5:8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. You see, we are called through consecration to separate the body and the soul from all those other things. We can't let this body become defiled. Let me say it again. We can't let this body become defiled. And a lot of times it's what we think, then we start to say stuff The Bible says it's what comes out of a man's mouth that defiles them. You know, the devil can put thoughts in your mind, but don't you start to obey him and actually spit them out. Amen. He may bring thoughts, but you know, you don't give voice to them. Don't you say them out. Don't you? You have to rebuke them, and you have to send them back to where it came, because that's all he's trying to do, is to defile you. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. Let's see how this works. There are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. When we put the spirit in obedience and we have put it under the water and we're covered by the blood, then we start to get on our way to consecration. I was just trying to illustrate it in a graphical form. The water washes away our sin. That's for the body. Amen. The spirit is for the soul. Amen. And the blood covers our mind. That's why, and our heart. That's why the Bible says having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. When we have submitted all these things in one, then we are on our road to consecration and sanctification of our mind and our body and our soul. Amen. Ephesians 1:13. And Sister Carol said it, obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Right? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul wanted to offer a sacrifice rather than obey what God had told him. And that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom he also trusted, after that he had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that he believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Part of consecration, of course, is being filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, that deals with our soul. That means God has sealed our soul. But we still have that soul in this temple. And we still have to consecrate this temple. The high priest, although he may have put on the garments of the priest, they still had to also sanctify the temple as well. There were several phases to that. They had to have a red heifer, and they had to offer that on the altar. Then they had to take the ashes of the red heifer and sprinkle it. There was a process in getting the temple sanctified. You see, God wants to use us, but he won't use us in our mess. Amen. He won't use... No, I don't think any of you go into the kitchen and you pick up a dirty plate and start putting your dinner on it. Huh? No? Then God won't do that either. Amen. We have to be washed. We have to be clean. It's not that you have to work to be in the God's kingdom, but it's just a matter of principle. He wants to use something that is clean. He is a holy God. And when we start to consecrate ourselves, he will do the washing, but we have to submit to it. We have to come and say, Lord, clean me, use me, make me. Hallelujah. When we do that, then God can use us. It says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we do things that defile this temple, we're grieving the Spirit. It hurts God. When we do things that defile the temple, we are hurting God. And there's many ways we do that. When we're angry without cause with our brother, that's defiling a temple. When we say a cross word without cause, that's defiling our temple. When we let thoughts materialize into actions that are sinful, we're defiling our temple. The Bible says that grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, God may not take his Spirit from you, but you are hurting God's Spirit. You are hurting the one who sacrificed for you. And at that time, you got to do like David. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. You know, David knew about true repentance. He realized that, yes, he could go offer 50,000 goats or 50,000 lambs, but that's not really what God wanted. He wants your heart. He wants you. Sister Carol, your testimony was so on point, because that's what he wants. He doesn't want a complacency. He doesn't want you the occasional person. He wants all of you. You know, some people only want to come to church at Christmas and Easter. I was talking to someone the other day, I think it was that car dealer, and he said I thought he was a Christian. He was telling, because he found out I was a pastor, he was telling me he was a Christian. But after we talked a while, It turns out he's a part-time Christian. He goes on Easter and Christmas. Sorry, go ahead. He did. He talked a good game, but after talking to him, I said, so, you know, I gave him a card to come to church and found out, well, he says he's a Catholic. He's a Catholic, but I don't know what kind of Catholic it is. He only goes every now and then. That's not what God wants from us. If you're consecrated, you belong to him. Last week we talked about how Hannah gave her son, Samuel, to the temple. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish. Now that's love. That's God gave his all, and he wants us to do the same. Amen? Amen. So we have to be obedient to God's call. Abraham, it took him a while because you notice what it says. God had spoken. And when I saw that, you know, when I was studying this some years ago, it reminded me of how many times it took me to listen. You know, my children are my best teacher. Everything I'm getting mad at them for, I stop and I go, wait a minute. Is that how I look to God? And you know, most of the time it is. The very thing I'm telling them, like, can't you see this is the right path? Why don't you make the right choice? I go, wait a minute. That's me. That's me. I think God uses my children to teach me, to make me understand how that's me when he's trying to set us on the right path. And yet we are so strong-willed and so boneheaded, we want to do our own thing. Amen. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the soul is set apart and sealed and sanctified once you get the Holy Spirit. But you have to do something about the body. God has filled you with the Spirit, but it's your responsibility for the temple. Knowing not that ye are the temple, and whoever defiles the temple, what does it say? God will destroy. We forget about that. But the temple, God allowed the temple in the Old Testament to be destroyed. This beautiful edifice, this gold overlaid edifice, probably the most glorious building mankind ever made. God allowed it to be destroyed. Why? Because they defiled him. They had gotten so far from his plan and from his pathway. So he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and destroy the temple. He was merciful. 70 years later, they came back, they rebuilt it. Not quite in the same glory. And again, over the years, they started to drift. And you know what happened? He allowed it to be destroyed again. In AD 70, Jesus, in AD 33, on his way to Jerusalem, he stopped outside of Jerusalem and he looked at the city. And you know what he did? He wept. You know what happened? They were grieving God. You don't want God to weep about you, do you? I certainly don't want God to weep about me. What I want God to be able to say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. That's what I want. I want to, the Bible says, if a man's ways please God, that should be our everyday goal. Lord, how can I please you? How can I please you? How can I please you, Lord? What would be pleasing in your sight today? I tell you, when you do that, there's no devil's going to be able to stand up to you. No Satan's going to be able to have victory over you. Yeah, he'll try. But I tell you, if a man's ways please the God, and that means woman too. That should be our goal every day. Lord, how can I please you? What would be your will today in my life? If we have that as our top priority, all the other things, right? Matthew 6:33, all seek ye first the kingdom of and his righteousness and all these other things. Because the Bible says he knows what we need. Jesus talking there, he said, listen, you can't by worrying about it make your height any, you can't add 1 inch to your height. Or you can't turn your hair back permanently anyway. There's temporary ways, I guess. Man has found some temporary, but you can't permanently do that. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to be consecrated to be used of God. And consecration of the soul is the work of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing he have purified your souls in obedience or in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. How did they do that? By showing love. That was how it showed what there was inside coming out. See that he loved one another with a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. That means with a passion, not just pretend love. Fervently. Fervently. That's how God is going to be able to use us, is when we manifest his image. Amen. The spirit and obedience leads through consecration to the sanctification or separation from all the worldly things. I'm going to have to hurry up here. So the sanctification of the body. Remember now, the spirit consecrates the soul. But for the sanctification of the body, we are given the sacrament, so to speak, of baptism. And then the continual washing of the word. That's why people who don't come to church, spiritually they get dirty. Sorry to be so blunt, but that's the truth. Because the Bible says we are washed by the word. If you don't hear no word, you know what that means? Any of you got a vehicle that's been going through all of this salt and stuff? After a while, you know, you didn't go through a mud puddle, but just driving down the roads picks up all this mess and this dirt. And then you find that if you lean on it with your clothes, you get it on you. You know what you have to do to fix that? Got to go to the car wash. You can stay away and say your car still runs fine. That's true, but it's filthy. You have to take it to the car wash. You may think you're doing okay, but that car looks terrible. Someone's going to put, please, please clean me. Wash me. Amen. You know, that's why we have to come to church, not because to see me, but to see him and to be obedient, because that's what the scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, we know that things come up. Some people have to work, and we understand that. But when people have no real reason other than laziness, then I think God holds them accountable. Jesus said unto him when he got up and was washing the disciples, he that is washed, that means, and that word in the Greek is baptized. What he was saying, if you've been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again, which is what Peter said, I need to wash my whole self, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Because of course he was speaking about Judas. John 15:3 says, now we are clean. How are we clean? How do we get consecrated? Through the word. When you come to church and you hear an encouraging testimony, when you hear about someone being delivered, when you hear about someone being healed, that's the word. That's the word. And that is consecrating you. That is making you hallowed. Believe it or not. Bible says in John 15:3, now we are clean. How? Through the word. So one of the steps in consecration is just come to church. It's just come to church. Again, it's like your car. If you drive in the winter here and you never wash it, very soon, you'll be very hard to get in your car without messing up your clothes. Amen. Amen. Yesterday my car was so filthy. You know what? I'm gonna wash it because my wife's gonna have to drive it, and I don't want her getting all messy. So I went to the car wash. Did you see how clean it was this morning? See how clean it was? I thought of you. I knew she would have to drive it this morning, so I said, you know what? I need to clean this car. We need to come to church, not to hear me, but to hear God's word. And when we come, the word washes us. We hear someone else. We get encouraged. We're into the worship. That's washing. That is being and becoming more consecrated. That's what we got to do. We got to leave Egypt, and we got to not stop in Haran. We got to come all the way. Some people think they can stop in Haran in front of their TV and watch the Word Network, and that does it. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think so. You may get a word or two, but I'm telling you this. Jesus said in the New Testament said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. So now we are clean through the word. So the word is part of our steps in consecration. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So when we hear a message, that is washing us. That is how we can leave today and feel good. Amen. when we hear a word, when we testify, that's how we can leave today and feel perfect and have God look at us and say, do you remember what happened to Jesus when he came out of the water? What did the voice say? I honestly believe that when you leave here today, having been washed by the word, that's what God is saying. Do you understand? You have come up out of the water of the word. And you know what? God is saying, they obeyed me. I'm pleased with them. They did what they're supposed to do. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I've well pleased. Obedience to the word. Because Jesus, everything he did was a symbol for fulfillment of his body. Amen. And if we're washed by the word, then when we come up, the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm pleased with you. Amen. You're clean now. You can go through this week and you can rejoice. You can have victory. You can have joy. You can have deliverance. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bless you because you were obedient. You consecrated yourself by coming to church. It's as easy as that. And then letting the word wash you, because the Bible says faith comes by and hearing by. Okay, so if you're not getting the word of God, you know what's happening to your faith? It's going down. Going down. You can stay there because we're not actually broadcasting this morning. Go ahead. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, the Amen. 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 The Bible says to lay aside this every weight and sin that so what? That just so easily besets us, you know, and that's again why we have to come to church, because there's an altar. Yes, you can pray at home, but the Bible says let them call for the elders of the church, and if they have committed any sin, let them pray and it shall be forgiven. You see, the Bible says we all fall short, and that's why it's we have to be it's like you washed one time for the year and said, okay, I'm done. You know, that won't work. You know, you'll get kind of ripe after a while. It's a continual washing. Because while we're in this flesh, We are not going to be like Jesus. We are not going to be absolutely perfect. It's His perfection through His blood that covers us. In the meantime, we have to let that word wash us after we've let the water wash us. Amen? But not by water only. See, this is that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. You see, the three things are because we are a three-part creature, and all of the three things, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, cover our soul, our body, and our Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we have those three things, so that we can become consecrated. Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. You see, the consecration has to start from the heart. You know, people do it with the appearance, but that's just faking. It's got to start from the inside. In the Old Testament, you'll find that when God gives the description of the tabernacle, He doesn't start from the outside. He starts from the first thing, which is the inside. He starts with the description of the ark, which is the primary thing. The description of the tabernacle starts from the inside and goes out. God has got to start from your heart. Consecration has got to start from your heart. Amen. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we can have fellowship one with another. For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's so great. There is not a sin that He can't cleanse us from if we have true repentance starting with our heart. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart. Amen. Not a fake heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed, amen, with pure water, amen. That's the washing of the word. When we come every week and we hear the word, when we hear a testimony, when we hear a worship, that is washing us from just the filth of this world. You may not have actually done anything, but it's just like your car. You haven't had an accident. You've just been driving along the streets of the world, and because of all the mess on there, your car gets dirty. It can be a beautiful car on the inside, but it needs washing. Amen. So, as I said, we've got to be in the world, but not of the world. John 17:11. And now, this is Jesus praying, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. See, we're not supposed to be of the world. Amen. After a while, if people have been around you for a little bit, they should know there's something different about you. If they don't know there's anything different about you, then there's something wrong, I think. They should know that you are different. It's not that we're trying to be holier than thou, but we can't be doing everything the world is doing. You know, there was a guy on the opposite side of my desk, and he's just got a foul mouth, you know. And I was just about to say something when he stopped. But anyway, I found out a little bit later that in his review, my manager sits not too far. He must have heard him. So before I even said anything, he had written him up in his review. You see, he knows that I'm a pastor. And when the world knows that, oh, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were. They need to take note that you are not the same. That you are a peculiar people is what the Bible says. They may laugh at you and think you're old-fashioned and whatever, but we're supposed to be a peculiar people, a called-out nation, sanctified. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know, in other words, we're supposed to be aliens. I'm glad they're not recording this. But if Trump wants to send me away, I'm happy to go, because I'm an alien. I'm an immigrant to this country. I'm an immigrant to this planet. I'm in this planet, but not of this planet. Amen. You don't even have to go there, but you can speak. Amen.
Your friends of the world greater than the people who are supposed to be your brother and sister in church.
Amen. We should be, well, the Bible said we should be one. We should be, you're absolutely right. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree, right? And the Bible says you can't be friends with the, I mean, they have stuff at my workplace all the time. I don't remember the last time I've been to any of them because that's not my thing. That's not my ambition. I'm not wanting to, they're always having these team things. We're going to go out and we're going to do a beer, what do they call it? Where they go around different taverns or whatever. I just said, I'm not into that. Sorry, you guys go because I'm not going. pub crawl? Something like that. I don't even know what it is exactly they're doing. I said, nope. I mean, even when it's just innocent stuff, you know, they're going to the baseball. I'm going to church. I don't have a spare night to be going doing that. I want to be in the house. If I'm not out, I'm studying my Bible. I'm reading something that's going to encourage me. And I'm not talking about me to talk about me. I'm saying there's got to be a difference that the world should notice about you. We should be, I said this, we should be the happiest people. We should be the happiest people. Now, sometimes the flesh gets the better of us, but we should be. If we have known that we've been called from death unto life, and that we're His, and that we're a son of the Most High, we should have a smile on our face. We should be happy. People should be saying, what's the matter with you? I want what you're drinking. I want to come to your place. Where are you getting your spirit from? Yeah, I have a spirit you don't know about. It's 100% proof. It never fails. When you get filled with that spirit, you can be drunk on it and it's okay. The breathalyzer can't pick that up. You can still walk a straight line. Amen. Amen. I got to hurry. Amen. I got to hurry here. So, to finish up, what have we consecrated lately? In Thessalonians, Paul writing to the Thessalonian church said this, and the very God of peace sanctify or consecrate you wholly. That means all of you, the whole part of you. I pray God your whole spirit and your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what have we consecrated to Him? Because whatever we give to Him is not going to be lost. Amen. That's why we do dedicate babies. We don't baptize them, but we firmly believe in doing like Hannah. When you have a baby, you bring them to the Lord and have the Lord. That's what happened in the New Testament. They brought their children and said, Jesus, please bless my baby. And the disciples at first were saying, no. He said, suffer, allow, because such is the kingdom of heaven. Is there anything that we haven't given to God? Our finances, yes. Consecrate that. Take your pocketbook out. Lay your hand upon it. Take your bills. Lay your hand upon it. Give it. Say, Lord, this is yours. You know, when we have nothing, there's nothing the devil can take. If you've given it all to God, it's safe. It's safe. Nothing can be plucked out of His hand. Amen? Lay your hand on your car. When we get another car, we're going to lay hands on it, aren't we? Amen. Lord, this is your vehicle. You cover it. You sanctify it. I'm serious. Take out your pocketbook sometime this week and you lay your hand and say, Lord, this is your money. You know, that's why we haven't been protected as we should, because we haven't given it all to Him. We've done an Ananias and Sapphira. This is what we've done, Lord. I'm giving you a little bit of me, and we tell everybody we've given them all. But that's not what God wants. He says, I'm a jealous God. I will not share my glory. I'm telling you, we would have such power, such deliverance, such passion, such joy. But we really haven't, if we think about it, there's things we haven't really yet given to God. Amen. Well, you know, maybe that was Abraham's feeling. I just can't leave my family. All right, God, I'm going to go, but I'm going to bring them with. See, he did it in stages. And who knows, maybe that's why he had to wait so long for the promised son. See, God will meet you at your level. He says, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So you draw a half step, he'll draw a half step. You do a full step, he'll do a full step. You go running, he'll go running. Amen. That's how God works. He said, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And it's really up to us how near we want to get to God. Amen. Titus 2:12, I'm trying to wrap this up, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. When I was younger, say in my 20s, there was all these things I wanted. You know, I wanted a studio. I wanted keyboards. I wanted, you know, all this stuff. And lots of stuff I wanted. I wanted computers. I wanted, but now there isn't really, I can honestly say, there's not much that I really want, really. I have everything I want. I really do. I mean, what we put above God is what will hold us down. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm going to try and hurry up now. Here's the question. Have we stopped in Haran? We left Ur of the Chaldees, but we decided to park. We didn't quite make it yet, and we got comfortable. See, he wants this body sanctified. Well, God looks at the heart, which is true. God does look at the heart. But your witness isn't to God alone. Your witness is to men. And unfortunately, men can't see your heart. What are they going to see? They're going to see your appearance. So it does matter what you look like. Because God can see your heart, but unfortunately I can't. I'm only going to see what you look like. So I'm going to take you as I see you. So if you look terrible as a witness, I'm going to think, man, that's a terrible witness. That's why it does matter how we dress. It does matter how we present ourselves. Yes, because God looks at the heart, but he's the only one who can do that. Our job is to witness to men. God already knows what we are. And if our witness to men falls short, then we're really not doing what God says. And as much as we say, well, it doesn't matter, it does matter. Because if I came in here, and I took the picture out because I didn't want anyone to snap it, but I have a picture, you know, with me with purple polka dots and a chain and all that. And if I got up here looking like that, none of you would be listening to me, right? You'd think, pastor's gone crazy. Right? So it does matter. I can't come up here with spiked haircut and purple and a bone through my nose and start preaching. Now, maybe God can look at my heart, but you are going to have to look at me, and it would be a distraction at the best. I have a bone through my nose and a chain going from here over to here, purple spikes, you know, like a reverse mohawk. That would be a distraction at the best. So we can say all we want, oh, it doesn't matter what I look like, but I'm telling you, you have to beautify the temple according to God's plan. Amen. Exodus 28:2, you can stand because I'm going to try and finish this. And thou shalt make holy garments. It did matter what how Aaron ministered. He couldn't just go in there any old how. God told him specifically, you got to put on some special garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him to be anointed therein and to be consecrated. He had to put on special garments to be consecrated. There's a lot to consecration. It involves a journey. It involves your heart. It involves your soul, your spirit, but it also involves what you look like, believe it or not. It does matter because our witness is not to God, but it is to men. And if we cannot witness, then we cannot fulfill what God has called us. Aaron, to fulfill the role of high priest, he had to look the part. He couldn't say, I hate this blue, and this hat doesn't go with my hair. I don't want it. Moses and God would have said, okay, fine, Aaron, we're going to get somebody else who will be obedient in all my ways. This is what I mean by about only giving God part of our consecration. It does matter our witness to the world. In the scripture about appointing leadership, he said, they must be good report outside the church. Otherwise, I can't function if I have a bad report outside, because my witness should not be just to you. It's got to be to the outside. And if they know I'm a criminal, or if I've got 20 wives or something like that, that's not going to work. Must be the husband of what? One wife. Because Jesus is only coming back for one church, one bride. Okay? He is looking for a holy and consecrated body. Hallelujah. We're going to close today, but not close God's Spirit. I'm encouraging you. Get consecrated through the washing of the word. Get consecrated by completing the journey. Get consecrated by how you look. Amen. Amen. We got to do all of those. Those are all steps to being used by God, to being an effective witness. Paul says not everything's unlawful, but not everything's, you know, convenient. I mean, yeah, I can do these things, but it might hurt my witness. And we never want that. We want to be at all times ready to witness so that people will look on us and say, I want what they got. I want what they got. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts and our heads. Father, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah for your word, your anointing that washes us, that prepares us for consecration, for your use. Hallelujah, in your temple. Lord, we ask for your anointing to continue, Lord. Oh God, let your spirit move in this place. Break down everything that's not of you, Lord. Humble us, oh God. Give us a voice of worship and of praise and of thanksgiving. Let your spirit heal and deliver. Oh Father, consecrate us today that we can be used mightily of you in every aspect of our lives. In our families, at our jobs, oh God, in our friends, Lord. We thank you right now for being who you are and for your blessing and deliverance. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. The first scripture says, for tomorrow he's going to do amazing things. Amen.